So here's a question for you. How are you doing in your maturity as a follower of Christ?
Different ways.
Wow. Okay. What does that mean? Some days are good. Some days not so good. Okay. Overall, is it going up or is it good? See, that's how you have to view your walk. As are you like a mutual funds chart, right? You don't look at the, you know, because you'll see all these ups and downs and ups and downs. The big question is, are you going up? That's what you want. Are you going up? Because you'll have ups, you'll have great times, great seasons, and other seasons that are just blah, flat. The reason I ask that is because as I listen to the news, as I read the news and that, and as I, you know, you view around the world, you go, what has happened to character? And I don't think any, you know what, part of me thinks character, the whole aspect of character with leaders and with people, probably isn't as much of an issue as the fact that the media portrays that. You get all the negative stuff, right? The media is really good at showing you everything that's going wrong in the world. And if you just feed on that only, it can give you quite the picture of our world, where I don't think it's quite as bad as that. Although there is some concern about people, that the way they're behaving, the way they're carrying themselves. And this whole thing about character, it's not a Christian thing. It's a human being thing about being a mature person, what maturity looks like, how a person responds to situations, how a person leads other people, how a person serves other people. Character is important regardless whether you're a leader or not a leader. Doesn't matter. It's key, important. How many have heard of the guy? His name is Ken Costa. Have you? Yeah, I figured you guys would know him. Because Ken Costa, he's known as a South African banker, lover of Jesus. Like, when I say banker, we're talking like CEO banker. Okay? We're not talking, you know, the loans manager or anything like that in a bank. But he's also on the board of directors for Alpha. He and Nikki Gumbel, if you know Alpha, you know Nikki Gumbel, close friends, and they even went to they did their post-secondary education together, and they've been friends all the way through. Anyway, he has a blog that he does, but also videos that he does on, I think it's called God at Work. But it's just about walking out your life in your workplace. And he talks about character. And I want to show just a little bit of a video, just a little short clip of something he has to say. So hopefully this works.
Well, it is absolutely essential for the workplace that we have people of sustained character, particularly if you're starting, if you're young. You don't know the stress that you're going to be under. You don't know the demands that people are going to have of you. You don't know what's going to shape your life in a few years' time. And what happens is, of course, that there is, just the way these things work, deadlines that have to be met. Usually they are very tight deadlines, usually the ones set just a day or so or a week or so earlier than you would like. And one has to work out, when do you say no? And I don't believe that anybody in the workplace comes of age until they actually learn to say no. And that is good biblical precedence for being able to know yourself and know your limits and be able to have the wisdom to say, I am not pursuing this particular path. We're dealing with a generation that finds it extremely difficult to say no to one thing for the reason that I have mentioned, which is that if I say no to this, I am excluding another option. There is no shortcut to this. The huge opportunities, the multiple choices that are offered and which are digitally enabled to see pictures of people in different parts of the country, oh, I'd like to visit them, the temptations are enormous. Words in the Old Testament, you know, sort of blessed is he who swears to his own hurt, who sort of says, look, I'm going to do something which will restrain myself from actually doing something that I know I will enjoy in the short term, but actually in the long term is not going to be beneficial. So chopping and changing jobs, for example. Many people would say, well, I'm getting bored, I'm just going to move on. Well, it may be right, but equally, employers want to know that there is a character that is sustained over a period of time. And of course, the greatest source of character strengthening for Christians is the hope that we have within us, which hope sustains us in day-to-day, tough, difficult decisions, difficult environments, and the knowledge that however difficult it might be, we're able to move on to experience life in its fullness even tomorrow.
Gotta love that accent, right? It fits a banker, doesn't it? Like, you know, if he was a UFC fighter, it wouldn't work. You couldn't do that. Anyway, that's aside from that. The whole thing of saying no. So Friday morning. So Larry Peterson, how many know, everybody knows Larry Peterson, one on our board. So he and I, we've been running for the last 3-4 weeks, actually like going for runs. And we went on a long run on Friday. It's cold, bundled up, and 100-minute run. That's what we're talking here. Anyway, what really helps me to run is I have earbuds and it's hooked to my phone and I can hear music, right? So you keep a certain tempo. I need that. Anyway, got halfway. We sort of, you know, stopped, had a sip of our water and stuff, and then ready to get going again, and he's off. And so I'm heading off too. What I forgot to do was... I had the tunes, but I changed the music up, and I had the chords from the earbud on the outside of the jacket. And did you know that when you're running and those little wires are hitting the jacket, that little tap that travels up into your ear, and it was like, this isn't going to work. Right? And so I'm jogging and think I'm going to do the cool thing, take my mitt off and tuck it under here as I run a bit and try to adjust, can adjust. Anyway, long story short, glove falls on the ground and it's like, darn. And Larry's getting smaller and smaller as he's going further away. And so I have to stop, pick up my mitt. And then I hope take off the other mitt, and you know, I'm trying to get the earbuds in, and I can't get them around. It's like, and he's gone, right? And it's like, and so I just wrap up the wire and shove it in my pocket, zip it up, and here I am. Now I have to run by myself, no tunes. What? Well, hey. Anyway. But anyway, so here's the point. The point is, here's the weird thing that happened. Here's the weird thing. The weird thing that happened to me was, well, self-pity, but disappointment, like discouragement. Discouraged to the point was that I heard in my head, just forget it and walk. Like, it was like, screw it. Like, forget it, I'm not doing it. It was like heavy on me, right? It was so hard. It was hard. Every step was hard to run. But I'm doing this for a reason, because there's a goal I have set in 2018 that I want to attain. So that's what we're training for. That's why we're doing this. And so what I did is I turned it around and I went, okay, if this happens in the event that I want to take part in, how am I going to get through 8.5 kilometers? and I started to develop, okay, this is what I got. I got to even think of a song or something, and, you know, and just do it 100 meters at a time, or, you know, whatever, and just get through it. And that's what I did. Now, I was able to, if there wasn't a purpose behind me running, and I heard a little voice say, quit, heard the same voice, I would have quit in a heartbeat. I don't need to be doing this. But because I knew what I was going for, I was able to say no to that voice. I am not quitting. Not going to quit. Not. Right? And it's vitally important what Ken was talking about on that video, about being able to say no to something, is critical as far as character goes. Very critical. I would say that knowing my yes so that I know when I should say no is vital, in fact, to my integrity as a human being and as a follower of God. Need to know what I'm saying yes to so I can say no when I need to say no. That is critical, guys, critical. If there are four people in Scripture that I would pick to say, here's a prime example that's excellent that you need to study and follow, I would pick Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But that's their Babylonian names. I want to give them their Jewish names. That's what they were born with, right? But those four guys found in the book of Daniel, those four guys demonstrate exactly what I'm saying here, that know your yes so that you know your no as well, what you're going to say no to. Critically important. So I want to just take, there's a number of little things you could look at in the book of Daniel to highlight this, but I want to pick two of those. And two snapshots. And the first snapshot I want us to look at is found in Daniel 1. And here's the situation. If, for those who aren't familiar with Daniel, what went on? Israel was taken into captivity by Babylon. The king Nebuchadnezzar, he was almost like an emperor, but a dictator, you know, of the most high order, so to speak. And they were taken in, and especially what they took. Whenever they would take into captivity, they would take the best from the population. So the best looking, the healthiest, the most academic, the smartest. That's what they would take. They would leave all the poor and the sick and that back. That's how they would decimate a society. So they took, and part of that was those four guys. They were part of that. In fact, it describes those four guys as they were smart, they were handsome, they were strong, they were healthy. They were specimens, right? They were good. So they were chosen. There was a number of, I don't know who knows how many, but a number of young men who were chosen to serve in the royal service of King Nebuchadnezzar. So they were going to be schooled in the ways of Babylon, and they were going to know all the ways. So here was the deal. If you're going to be serving with the upper echelon, are you going to eat what they eat? Of course you're going to eat what they eat. And so they were assigned an attendant, and the attendant said, you're going to be eating the same fine foods that the king eats. Now, put it to yourself. Imagine someone said, listen, from here on in, you will be eating food that is prepared by the chefs of Langdon Hall. Now, if you were... Let's just pretend here. You've been taken into captivity. You're a follower of God. And what would your prayer be? My prayer would be, as I go into captivity, Father, be with us. Please watch over us and bless us, please. And then to be told, you're going to eat food from Langdon Hall. Thank you, Father. That would be the natural thing, would it not? Maybe not for you. For me, it would be like, I guess God's showing me favor. No burgers. I'm going to eat well. You know, that's what I'd be thinking. That's not what happened with the four guys. The four guys, Daniel, who was sort of like the spokesperson, had a different response to the attendant. And this is what is written in the book in Daniel 1. It says, "But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king." And here's the thing. There was something about remaining loyal to God that was established years before they went into captivity. And anything that would get in the way of that, anything that may compromise that, they were determined they would reject. Now, how could fine food, how could the king's food get in the way of that? Start to enjoy the ways of Babylon, maybe? Start to look at Nebuchadnezzar as not a bad guy. Like, look at the food we got. We got to eat with him. It's not so bad, right? And little by little, what happens? Compromise, right? You know, that's pretty good here. You know, and it's so subtle, but it's so easy, you know? It's easy. It's good. Good clothes, good food, good bed. Better than mom's cooking, right? And you got all that going through. But they had determined their yes of loyalty to God. They saw the dangers of what could take place. And so Daniel goes, "No, actually, we want you to serve us vegetables and water." You see the comparison, right? Over here, fine meats, pastries, nice veggies, creams, and wines, and different stuff. Over here, vegetables, broccoli, and water. But that's what they asked for. Side note, speaking of character, if you want to know how you should respond to people who are in authority over you, when you disagree with something they are doing, read, study Daniel. Study how they respond. You know how Daniel responded? It wasn't, "No, we're not going to eat that filthy food." It wasn't that. Didn't attack the attendant. Nothing like that. He said to the guy, the attendant, "Look, feed us vegetables see how we are. If we look," because the guy was afraid. He said, if you come to the king looking decimated, I get beheaded. Daniel goes, "Hey, you know what? Feed us, test it, see it, and see yourself if we aren't looking better and chipper, right, than the other ones. And you base your decision on that." Gave them freedom to decide. And so they did. They ate their vegetables, water, and of course, you know the rest of the story there. In knowing their yes, they were able to say no. Because they had determined long ago what they wanted to, who they were, and the direction they were going in. Second snapshot, to bow or not to bow. Chapter 3. Now this is with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And here's a question for you. You know, it's one thing to be able to say no to those little voices in your head that say quit or do something. And it's something else, as you know, what Ken Costa was talking about, when you got so many choices at work or some things you got to, or we have so many things to say yes to that wants our attention, you know, on social media and that, and on our own phones and that we can be so distracted and we have a hard time saying no to things. That's one thing. But how would you respond, I wonder? And I've asked myself this, how would I respond if I was faced with a life and death situation? If I was being forced to do something and not doing it was going to mean my life. I don't have a clue how I'd respond. I know how I hope I'd respond. I hope I would know my yes. I hope that it would scream at me loud and clear so I could know what to say no to, but I don't know. I've never been in that situation. We don't live in that type of a culture where you can get threatened. If you don't do this, you're going to die. You will be killed. Now, I know some people in the world, that's the cultures they live in. And they live in that day in and day out. But I really don't know how I would respond. And I have to wonder what was going through the minds of those three young men as they were watching, or maybe hearing about, I don't know where they were in relation to when the order came through, but the order came through. They would have heard it because they were in the royal service, right? They were being groomed, right, to serve the king in the royal areas. They would have heard about it, about this statue that the king had ordered, gold statue that was going to be erected, 9 stories tall. So think of a 9-story apartment building. That's how tall it was and made of gold. So you know how filthy rich this guy is, right? But a 9-story statue, and they knew what was going to be coming down at some point once it was finished. And then finally the edict gets read. And now they're faced with a dilemma. And here was the edict. This is in chapter 3. The edict was, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments. Basically, if you hear a musical instrument, you're to bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. And anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. In other words, anyone who refuses to obey will die. You'll die. You'll be killed, executed. How would you respond? What would be going through your mind that first night you crawl into bed? What would be going through your mind? Would you sleep? I don't even know if I would sleep. What would be your first thought on waking up in the morning? Wondering if I hear that. If you hear the music, we got to bow to it. We don't want to bow. What do we do? Because you can't. It's not like you can run away. You're a captive. You may be eating the king's fine food. You may be have the finest bed and ever that. You're not going anywhere. What are you going to do? Go back to the beginning and you realize that the three young men and Daniel, they lived their lives according to their yes, what they had decided years ago. Now, what I would like to know is I would like to go and meet their parents. Because there's something about those, their parents, that instilled in them such strength of character. Strength of character. To be able to make such difficult decisions. But they knew their yes, and it was solidified long before this incident was taking place. See, that's the thing. You got to make your decision. You got to make your yes known now, not when you get caught in a jam. Because when you're caught in a jam, you don't have the yes. You can scramble to try and find your yes, but you can't find it. And they had determined a course for their life. And here's the thing. Here's the thing Nebuchadnezzar didn't realize. They made the decision that they would lead their life. And it wouldn't be the king that would lead and give direction to their life. They decided they were going to lead it how they wanted to lead it. And if their decision, how they were going to walk, was going to cost them their life, so be it. They knew the course they had determined for themselves, and that's the course they were going to walk, and no one was going to say differently to them. And you know the rest of the story. The king, there's always tattletales, right? Because they didn't bow. Well, that would have been rampant news, right? Got to the king, and the king demanded they be brought to him, before him, and he's done them so many favors, and he demanded an explanation as to why they wouldn't bow down, and probably giving them a second chance to do it, and then everything would be cool. and he calls them. And what a brilliant response. As they stood before the king, and this is what they said. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us, and he will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. You talk about, now, Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, let your yes be yes and your no, no. You know, say what you mean what you say. Can you be any more clear than that? He made it very clear. Take notice, King, we'll never serve your gods. We will never bow down to your statue. They just drew the line. They just drew the line. In that statement alone, you have their yes, who they serve, and you have their no as a result of that. Very, very clear. Very clear. It's determined, and they were able to speak it and stood there. Brilliant story. It's a brilliant story in Scripture of character, of strength, of courage. You can go on and on the list there. Still, and at the same time, still respect and honor towards Nebuchadnezzar, but just very clear how they lived their lives. Look at knowing your yes is critical in your growth as a follower of Jesus, because you're going to get faced with situations and you got to decide. And if you haven't established, that's my yes. Oh man, you're going to be put in situations. What do I do? What do I do? And this saying yes to what? It's not saying yes to a church. It's not saying yes to a statement of faith. It's not saying yes to a denomination. It's saying yes to Jesus. That's the key critical thing. Say yes to him. Say yes, because you're his student. He's your rabbi. And we say yes to Jesus. That's what we want to be about. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul is writing to encourage them, and he is wanting to say to them that his reason for living, his purpose, or what some people would say, his raison d'etre, his purpose for living, his reason why he's alive, is to know Christ and to be known by him. And he says, everything else in my life, all my accomplishments, all my credentials, my, you know, the fact that I'm a Roman citizen, the fact that I'm, you know, I'm fully Jewish, all of that stuff, he says, is garbage. That's what he says. He uses the word dung or crap or poop or whatever you want to call it. But that word, he says, it's garbage, all that stuff. There's only one thing I have to want to do, and that's to know Christ. That's what Paul wants to know. That was Paul's yes. And then listen to his words here. This is in Philippians 3, verse 12. And this is from the Message, just to put it in more earthy language. Okay. There we go. And Paul says, I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ. That's his yes. He's yes. That's his yes. That's the direction he's going in, who has so wondrously reached out for me. You know what that is? That's God's yes to Paul. You see, that's the thing we don't realize, that God has said yes to us. He has said yes to you. Christ has said yes to you. He has said yes. He's focused. He is so desperately wants to rescue humanity that he has said yes to us. And Paul captures it there in that sentence as he's reached out to Christ and Christ has reached out to him. And he says, friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is backing us onward to Jesus. That's the yes. That's the yes there in a nutshell. That's what Paul was going after. That's what he was going after. So my question today as we wrap up, do you know your yes? That's the question. I guarantee you, you're going to be faced either at the workplace or at home or in your neighborhood or wherever. You're going to be faced with a dilemma. It's going to come before you. And how are you going to decide? What's going to be that thing that tips you one way or the other? Because if you don't know, well, the forces are pretty strong. How else would you say no to fine foods that Daniel and his friends said no to? There's only one way. They knew their yes. They knew what it was they had said yes to. You know, you may have said the sinner's prayer. You may have accepted Jesus. You may have, depending on what denomination you grew up in, you may have done catechism. You may have been baptized, all that stuff. At the end of the day, the question is your yes, has your yes been Jesus? Is that your yes? Is that your yes? One of the confusions over the past year and a half for me has been some of the stuff I've been hearing coming out from some evangelical leaders, particularly in the U.S., that has confused me, quite frankly. I've been confused. It didn't sound like the Gospels I read. It doesn't sound like what Jesus, how Jesus operates, and I'm confused. And one of the things I've learned as I've listened to commentators, especially within the church, people who are looking right now at the evangelical church and looking and examining what's going on, what is up. One of the things in the U.S. is that the politics and faith has become enmeshed together. And here's what I think has happened. I think because of that enmeshment with politics and this is both in Democrats and Republicans, and it's also in Canada in conservatives, liberals, and NDPers, or whatever you call them. This enmeshment that has taken place to the south of us, I think the reason something's not clicking with me with what some of the things I'm hearing and some of the things I'm reading from prominent leaders, evangelical leaders, is because what they've said yes to is not Jesus. They've said yes to the policy of their political parties. And it's become tangled in, and they've equated one with the other as the both the same thing. And that's why it's not ringing true. And the church is going, what the heck is going on? Don't get it. Because politics and Jesus, two different things. And we're followers of Jesus, guys. We're followers of Jesus first. We follow him. We walk after him. Look, I think the reason a lot of Here's a subtle battle that goes on. With the advent of science and the progression science has taken over the decades, the last few decades, and the advancement, it's gone. And the people voicing their, you have atheists speaking out, you have different people, and you hear of different people who have stepped away from the faith, and they're questioning things and questioning the Bible. I think we've been saying yes to, and the reason we get thrown off course and we fall off and all that stuff, I think the reason is because we've put our faith in some of the knowledge that we've learned from Scripture or that. And instead, we haven't said yes to Jesus, that Jesus, we trust Jesus, we understand Jesus, we follow Jesus, we said yes to him. And I think it's easy then to get bumped and swayed by everything that's going on. And if we could just say yes to Jesus, it'd make all the difference in the world. Do you know your yes? Do you know it? Hope you do. We need to. And we need to, and parents, if there's any parents, you got to teach your kids, please. I remember saying 10, 50, I forget when it was. We don't have to worry about being taken into Babylon, guys. Okay, that's not going to happen. You know why? It's coming here. Just is. We live in a different country now. It's pluralistic. It's where we live. Raise your kids to be like Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah so that they're able to determine the path they're going to walk. Make it really clear for them, guys, parents. It's so important. So important. So important. Let's wrap up. Listen, character is everything. The leaders are out there. They're there. Don't give up. Don't despair. They're there. And by the way, God doesn't tolerate for people who walk in lack of integrity. Doesn't. Sort of like, go ahead, dig your grave. But it's coming. Right? He doesn't tolerate it. And you know another thing? Doesn't matter what religion you are or what, if you're non-religious or whatever, everybody knows good character, everybody appreciates good character, and everybody is attracted to it. Everybody. Like, I mean, the human beings are attracted to that. When you see good character, it does something in here, does something there. When you see a leader like that, it does something here. When you see parents of good character, when you see people who are just of good character, does something to one's heart. So good. So good. So I'm challenging you today. Determine what your yes is today. Determine today what your yes is. Determine that. Yeah, say, really, seriously. So we're going to pray. We're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. To be a people that or that make the Daniels our heroes. Make them our heroes. Right? Make them. They're our superheroes, actually. Let's stand together so we get the blood flowing back into our legs there.